6.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Two American aircraft carriers will join a third already in the Mideast in what could be a buildup for a wider war, or could dissuade Israel and Iran from continuing their war.
Essentially, you're having now a really large military presence. Remember, there's already 40,000 U.S. military personnel in the Middle East. And by adding two aircraft carriers, that's another 10,000 more.
ABC's Louis Martinez, who covers the Pentagon here on the ABC podcast Start Here. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is using diplomatic channels to tell Iran that the U.S. is willing to have direct talks. Triple-digit heat is expected in Denver, Minneapolis, and across the upper Midwest. New York and Philadelphia will be sizzling on Monday with real feels above 100, maybe into Wednesday. Welcome to summer. The solstice arriving at 10:42 Eastern tonight, the most daylight of any day. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Fresh Realm establishments are recalling chicken fettuccine Alfredo products that may be adulterated with an outbreak strain of Listeria monocytogenes, or LM. Out of an abundance of caution, the company is voluntarily recalling all products produced prior to June 17th that are available under the following brand names and shipped to Kroger and Walmart retail locations nationwide. 32.8-ounce tray packages containing market-side grilled chicken Alfredo with fettuccine tender pasta with creamy Alfredo sauce, white meat chicken, and shaved Parmesan cheese with Best Buy date, June 27, 2025 or prior. 12.3-ounce tray packages containing market-side grilled chicken Alfredo with fettuccine, tender pasta with creamy Alfredo sauce, white meat chicken, broccoli, and shaved Parmesan cheese with Best Buy date June 26, 2025 or prior. And 12.5-ounce tray packages containing Home Chef Heat and Eat Chicken Fettuccine Alfredo with pasta, grilled white meat chicken, and Parmesan cheese with Best Buy date June 19, 2025 or prior. The products bear the USDA mark of inspection on the product label as well as establishment numbers ESTP50784, ESTP47770, or ESTP47718 printed on the side of the packaging. The Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service and public health partners are investigating an outbreak of LM that currently includes 17 ill people in 13 states. As of June 17th, there have been 3 reported deaths and 1 fetal loss associated with this outbreak. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Pacers beat the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball. The Pacers dominated the Thunder last night in Indianapolis, 108-91. To tie up the NBA Finals at 3 games apiece, Oshkosh, Wisconsin's Tyrese Halliburton from the Pacers on Sunday night in Oklahoma City. It'll be the first time there's been a Game 7 in the Finals in 9 years.
You know, for the next couple days, the narratives are going to be almost poison, you know, to talk about what this would mean to our city and legacy talk, and we played so well.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers opening a 3-game series against the Twins at Target Field. The Crew with a dramatic 8-7 win over the Cubs in Chicago yesterday, despite some very questionable balls and strike calls by the home plate umpire against the Brewers' Abner Uribe and Trevor McGill.
Pretty bad calls there in Abner's inning and in my inning. Yeah, I mean, that's baseball, I guess. I mean, they're going to have bad days back there, too.
That's Brewers closer Trevor McGill with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then increasing sunshine in the afternoon with highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight, a low of 74. Hot and humid this weekend with highs in the 90s, heat index values above 100. Currently, it's 65.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, to discuss the state of the state's budget. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hello there. Good morning. It's 8:06. It's Friday. It's June 20th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. I've been awake since 3 a.m. And it shows.
It shows.
Thanks,
More
Parker.
Coffee. More coffee.
Parker Olson's down in Madison in Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. And yeah, it's just one of those, if Dan Schaefer hadn't already made us use the word discombobulated so much,
yeah,
I'd use it here anyway. It's just a discombobulated kind of day. And I don't have any great explanation for it. We just are. So coming up on the program this hour, well, the aforementioned Dr. Lyerly is here, going to tell us about some of her poor life choices, like biking in thunderstorms yesterday.
It didn't start out as a thunderstorm.
Biking in 100-degree heat index tomorrow. So we'll question some of her decision-making skills coming up in just a bit. And then Mike Clemens will be along talking about sports, and I'm going to ask him about robot umpires.
Yeah,
because I am after yesterday's Brewers Cubs game, I'm ready to make that switch right now. There's some things you cannot do by robots. OBGYN work comes to mind. They ain't no robot delivering that baby, or forecasting the weather. You can have your European model, you can have your American model, you can have your supermodel, but no, you need a meteorologist to forecast these things. And Brittany Merlot does that for us now, telling us where. Who's getting rain and storms yet before the heat dome really starts to move in?
Yeah, so we've still got a little bit of rain this morning right now towards the Madison area that's moving its way towards Milwaukee. It should just be some light little rain. Moving on out of here really quickly. We'll see more and more sunshine as we go throughout the afternoon, especially down south. I've got a ton of it up here right now up north. And of course, highs today making it nice and comfortable. Upper 70s to mid 80s. It's the perfect day for the first day of summer. Happy summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year with the most sunlight out there. And we don't have any rain moving in again until late, late, late tonight. Basically overnight while we're sleeping again. More storms are supposed to fire up in northwest Wisconsin and work their way through the state. Now, they could just fizzle out in the northern half and nothing down south tomorrow. But some of those models are continuing to drag that rain to the southern parts, which would linger until about noon or so tomorrow afternoon. If this does happen, then this may cool our temperatures just a little bit from the 90s, but the 90s are still pushing in regardless. Sunday, Monday, and probably still Saturday, to be honest with you. I think that rain will stay mostly north, and we are looking at high, high winds possible, 70 to 80 mile per hour in these storms, and also hail risk too. Tiny chance for tornadoes. So heads up. Again, this will be overnight, so not the perfect timing. But afterwards, that heat moves in, it builds, that humidity becomes oppressive. It is going to feel so sticky, like Florida has just parked itself over Wisconsin. And this is dangerous heat, especially because we haven't had this far north yet. And I hope you're hydrated. I hope you're ready for it. Because if you're out there trying to enjoy the first weekend of summer, it could sneak up on you. So please be safe out there. And your pets, too. That pavement, that concrete is scorching as we go through this weekend. They can burn their paws, check on neighbors, all of that.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to take out the pontoon for the first time here this weekend with a couple of the grandkids. And, yeah, definitely going to need that, that little canopy that you put up and give yourself some shady spots there. And, yes, fluids for everybody, including crazy bike riders like Dr. Lyerly here. How much did you bike yesterday?
30. Just
and
30.
How many are you? Just 30. 30. How much are you planning to bike tomorrow?
As much as I can. I have a promise to myself on the solstice that I spend as much time as I can outside. So as soon as it dries up, because it is raining right now, I'm going directly outside to ride my bike, pull weeds, do whatever I can to enjoy all the sunlight.
Well, good for you.
I like it.
That's a, that is a great attitude. All right. Brittany, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
See ya. All right.
It is our free ticket Friday for Milwaukee Brewers tickets. Fridays during the summertime, we give you a keyword. And unlike the last contest where you've only got like an hour, here you've got the entire show to text in the keyword. And the keyword today for this morning's show is fun, F-U-N. So if you haven't done it yet, you still can get to that Civic Media app and put fun in as you text any one of the stations in the app. On the text line, Tom from Jackson, Brittany, what a great radio voice. Well, I know. That's why we brought her along.
That's what I was saying earlier.
Yeah, exactly. So again, fun is the keyword for the Brewers. The tickets, by the way, are for next Friday's game against Colorado. Four tickets. It's a statewide contest, so go ahead and try to get yourself entered and try to get yourself some tickets for next Friday's game. Then, when Dr. Lyerly is out riding that bike, at some point she's got a weekend radio show to share with you all as well. So, Dr. Lyerly, what do we have on this weekend show?
We are talking about the policy of Pride. Of course, it's still Pride Month, and there was a wonderful piece of policy that was introduced by Representative Ryan Spouty and Senator Chris Alfheim and others that we are going to dig into with Representative Spouty, as well as candidate for state senate, Sean Grorich. So it's a really interesting perspective on Pride from a legislative standpoint. Pat, did you know that the LGBTQ caucus in the Wisconsin legislature now has 12 members? They have doubled in size with the last election.
I do know, and it's been very, very refreshing to see, you know, that increased level of diversity, and it enables you to get even more of a spotlight shown in key areas. And so, yeah, I'm very happy to see that many people representing.
And in really exciting news in my region, Northeast Wisconsin, of the 5 members of the legislature that we elected here, 4 of them are part of the community. How crazy is that? Is that what you think of when you think of Northeast Wisconsin?
It is not. And that is only a good indicator of things to come in terms of, you know, better representation for the entire Northeast Wisconsin community. Because sometimes the representation is maybe lacking a bit. Alicia puts up on YouTube, oh, the conversation I had, she puts conversation in quotation marks, the conversation I had with State Representative Ron Tussler yesterday about how useless a tax cut for seniors would be without hospitals. She says, interesting to say the least, because we were talking earlier about that new report from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that says that if the big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill passes by Donald Trump, Wisconsin hospitals will face about $3 billion less in revenue over the course of the next decade and almost $1 billion more in uncompensated care. And, you know, that's going to hurt hospitals. It's going to hurt things like people that want to, you know, go to college. We've talked about UW funding being cut by the Joint Finance Committee. And Alicia says, oh, Ron Tussler told me funding the UW system harms the poor. He says this to someone who has been poor for most of her life, Alicia writes. So when I talk about better representation, I'm giving you a couple of great examples right there.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the other part of the other folks who are from Northeast Wisconsin. We've got, you know, we've got the gays, and then we've got those guys. So we've got a lot of work to do. Well, when we were running in the last cycle, we had so many women and members of the community who were running. We actually called ourselves the gals, the gays, and a few good men. And that ended up being just Senator Jamie Wahl. So it was a really unique group of people on the Democratic side that were running against this really very insular, extreme group of Republicans on the right side who believe in exactly what Alicia just said. Representative Tesler was saying, we hear that from, I mean, Chase Hartwell, same story. He's the guy who is preventing new moms from getting postpartum Medicaid right now. He's holding that postpartum Medicaid bill in his committee and refusing to let it go because he wants people to pay for insurance that they can't afford when they desperately need insurance so that they can get life-saving health care. It is just, it's a total lack of investment in community, and it's heartbreaking, and it's our obligation to change it, and we're going to.
Yep. Eileen puts up on Facebook, like, the healthcare crisis we already have here in the Chippewa Valley isn't bad enough.
Right.
And again, you know, there's $15 million there that's about to expire. It was put in the last budget 2 years ago. And 10 days from now, if that money is still not released by the Joint Finance Committee, it just goes right back into the general fund. And that's 2 years of the Chippewa Valley not being able to, you know, use funds that were appropriated to it. And what really gets to me is not only the temper tantrum that Republicans are having, that Governor Evers used his line item veto, which is his right as a governor. But they're saying, well, this money was just supposed to go to Eau Claire and Chippewa that lost hospitals. And, you know, they're supposed to help the Chippewa Valley, but it's going to go to all these other counties. Yeah, the Chippewa Valley is more than two counties. It's an entire region that comes to the Chippewa Valley for their health care. If you can help health care in the surrounding counties as well, in their districts, by the way, that's a good thing. I mean, they are just clutching at straws, anything to be an obstruction to Governor Evers.
That's a consistent pattern that we see on that side. We see solutions presented, and immediately we see barriers put up and all of these angles that just don't make sense. And then they double down on the angles. And the last thing they seem to want is to actually help the constituents who elected them into public office, which is why we've got to pay attention. We've got to have these conversations. Most of the people around us are not paying attention. They don't even know who their representatives are. They don't know what's happening. All they know is they're struggling to get by in the world.
Yeah.
So if we have conversations about issues with our neighbors and with our friends, we can get there. But if we don't have these conversations because we're afraid of partisanship, we're afraid of the I'm on this side and you're on that side business, we're not going to be able to move this agenda forward. And frankly, we're going to continue to head down this path that's not working for anybody.
Alicia writes, Shay Sortwell claims Medicaid harms hospitals because of compensation rates. Hey, news alert, Mr. Shortwell, you can raise the rates.
And Wisconsin has the lowest rates for pregnancy reimbursement. Wisconsin has the lowest rates in the nation.
You can do something about that instead of just reaching for excuses. Mm-hmm. Rob writes, thank you, Kristen, for all you do fighting for us, even though you have a busy schedule. She does an excellent job looking out for small rural communities. From Tom and Jackson, I hope Kristen will mention the time she is on the air this weekend. I have enjoyed listening to her. Great advice and more, please.
Thanks. Yeah, we're on at 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, and of course, streaming on the Civic Media app. And then the podcast. Go to civicmedia.us. You can find the podcast there or wherever you get your podcasts. And all the previous episodes are there, too. We've got 10 previous episodes.
Look at that. 10 episodes. Look, you're on your way.
We're having so much fun. And they're great conversations. Every time I walk away from a taping, I think to myself, are people really going to enjoy that as much as I enjoyed having that conversation with that person? The last one with Pete Schwabba, Pete's just brilliant. And he's so much fun. And what a history.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't have known.
You got to listen to it.
Word for your conversation.
We're going to turn his film that he wrote, directed, produced, and starred in. It's called The Godfather of Green Bay. We're going to turn it into a cult classic this fall at the Tarleton Theater in Green Bay. So when you come for a game, come to the Tarleton, and we'll all do the Macarena together.
What?
Yeah, just watch the movie. You'll know.
I guess I'm going to have to. Parker looks so confused right now. But
the Macarena?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the movie is not new, but the Macarena is a big part of it. It's just fun. It's an engaging, fun movie that is very Wisconsin, and it just has all of those components to engage people.
Gotcha.
Okay.
A local update is coming up next for some of you. Others, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Lyerly. And when we're all back together after 8:30, we will talk to Mike Clemens and do a little sports heading into the weekend. It's all followed by Matt and Air on Air coming up at 9 o'clock. We're heading to a commercial break. Right, Parker? Am I reading the clock right?
Yes, you are, Pat. I was getting worried. It felt like you were wrapping up early. I was worried.
From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
Cobuson Bus is hiring. It's drivers that they need.
Do you remember your school bus driver, the one who got you to school safely? Now it's your turn to make a difference. Join us at Cobuson for our open bus hiring event, Thursday, June 26, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Take a seat behind the wheel of a bus and see how easy it really is. Learn about our generous bonus program. Visit Cobuson.com for the location near you.
Cobuson Bus is hiring. It's the perfect job for me.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center.
The heat and humidity are building. Meteorologist Brittany Merlo warns us to beware.
We're talking about 90-degree temperatures with 100-degree heat indices this weekend. It's time to be aware of signs of heat-related illnesses like heat stroke because it can happen fast and hydration is important. So we're simply sweating more because the air is muggy and it's full of water, so it's harder to evaporate the sweat off of us, which cools us down. And since our internal body temperatures can rise to unhealthy levels, it's why you should avoid strenuous activities in the high heat or keep up on your water intake. Avoid sugary drinks and alcohol as those work to dehydrate you even more. And if you start to feel dizzy, confused, with a sudden stop in sweating, it's time to get inside some AC or find a fan or a shaded area to cool down. If you continue, heat stroke is possible, and you may see stars, throw up, blackout, or wind up in the ER. Nearly 700 Wisconsinites visited emergency rooms for heat-related illnesses just last year, and 39 kids across the country died. Never leave them or pets inside of a car, even with the window cracked. After just 20 minutes on an 80-degree day, the CDC says the inside of the car is at 109 degrees Fahrenheit.
The extreme heat, which is forecast throughout Wisconsin over the next several days, could create conditions for pavement buckling. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is advising motorists to be alert and take extra caution. Pavement can buckle when the weather quickly goes from cool to very hot. This causes slabs of pavement to expand and push against one another. If the pressure becomes great enough, the pavement can buckle and create unexpected bumps or dips. While it's difficult to predict if or where buckling may occur, Wisconsin DOT offers these tips. Slow down, buckle up, and focus your full attention on the roadway. Watch for slowing traffic and be ready to move over for all roadside workers, including highway crews, as they repair damaged pavement. Before your trip, check the 511 travel information system for the latest on any incidents or delays. And if necessary, report serious pavement issues by calling 911. Be ready to provide specific location information. A multi-jurisdictional investigation continues in the city of Madison. A Wednesday afternoon statement from the State Division of Criminal Investigation said multiple state, local, and federal law enforcement agencies are involved. That includes the FBI, the State Crime Lab, Madison Police and Fire, Middleton Police, and the Rock County Sheriff's Office. The Wisconsin National Guard's 54th Civil Support Team is assisting with hazardous material expertise and decontamination. Multiple scenes related to the investigation include two on Madison's west side and a third near Camp Randall Stadium. The public is asked to avoid these active scenes, and there continues to be no threat to public safety or to neighbors who live near these active scenes as they are being processed. Two suspects are in custody. Law enforcement is not aware of any fatalities, and to preserve the integrity of the investigation, are unable to release additional details at this time. At the Capitol, Republicans propose an $87 million cut to the universities of Wisconsin. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer of Racine calls that completely unacceptable and said Wednesday that would have serious consequences for economies across Wisconsin. A cut like that could mean closed campuses. That proposed cut is a far cry from the UW System's requested $856 million budget increase. But something Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says his Republican caucus supports. Voss said it's not about cutting money. What it is about getting some kind of reforms to the broken process that we currently have. Voss referenced too much political correctness on campus and hate directed at Jewish students without explaining how cutting the budget would address those issues. Any budget containing that large a cut to the system could face a veto from Democratic Governor Tony Evers. A spokesman says UW system officials are astounded that Republican lawmakers are considering a budget cut. In a statement, University's Wisconsin Director of Media Relations, Mark Pitch, noted that the UW system budget has endured cuts for more than a decade, and Wisconsin has fallen to 44th out of 50 states nationally in public funding. Pitch said that it's not sustainable if Wisconsin wants to win the war for talent, and the proposed $87 million cut in state funding would put access and affordability in deep jeopardy. He said over 500 business leaders and 20 business organizations statewide signed a letter of support for more investment in the universities and that a cut would be devastating to campuses and communities. Officials from Planned Parenthood say some of their locations in Wisconsin could close if the proposed federal budget bill passes. A measure in the proposed budget would prevent residents from using Badger Care to pay for the services they receive at Planned Parenthood, which could include routine health care or annual checkups. On top of losing that revenue, anti-abortion groups are also still looking for ways to close facilities that provide abortion services after state courts determined that an 1849 law did not ban consensual abortion in the state. Older U.S. adults are increasingly dying from unintentional falls, and white people account for the vast majority of the deaths. That's according to a new report from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that was published Wednesday. More than 41,000 retirement-age Americans died of falls in 2023. From 2003 to 2023, death rates from falls rose more than 70% for adults ages 65 to 74. The rate increased more than 75% for people 75 to 84, and more than doubled for seniors 85 and older. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection, in cooperation with the United States Forest Service, will begin mating disruptor treatments for spongy moth this month in 7 western Wisconsin counties as a part of the National Slow the Spread program. Residents in the affected areas can expect loud, low-flying planes as early as sunrise on select mornings. In June and July, small yellow planes will fly low to apply spongy moth pheromone or mating disruptor to treetops in select areas in Barron, Buffalo, Dunn, Grant, Lafayette, Polk, and St. Croix counties. Again, to receive an update or information on treatment plans by signing up for an email update, call toll-free Spongy Moth Hotline at 800-642-MOTH or email questions to spongymoth@wisconsin.gov or follow DATCAP social media.
You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Greater Richland Area Chamber of Commerce will be hosting the 4th annual Taste of the Hills at Crosscut Park Saturday from 4 to 9. Christy Adsett is the president of the Greater Richland Area Chamber of Commerce.
The weather looks awesome. It's going to be hot, but it should be an awesome event. Lots of good food, lots of good music. We kind of took the event over from the hospital. They had originally done it for their people that make donations and everything as a little thank you to them, and they were not able to facilitate any longer. So then the chamber took it over here about 4 years ago, and we've kind of modeled it a little bit more closer to like Madison, Taste of Madison, where people can come. You buy tickets at the gate. Tickets are $2 each. And then you can use those tickets to buy food from the various vendors, food and drink from the various vendors that we have on site.
The event will include a variety of food vendors. Food portions are sized so attendees can sample a variety of items. While enjoying your food, Adsett invites you to bring your lawn chair, relax, and enjoy the music.
Our opening act is Shalene Grunwald. She is from the Prairie du Chien area. I had also spent some time in Nashville. She sings a lot of pop country type music. Is a very good entertainer. And then following her up, we'll have Three Souls. They're a local band. Jeff Behrens is part of that band. They do a lot of 70s and 80s, but we're really looking forward to have them be entertainment for that night.
There is no admission charge to Taste of the Hills.
When you come into the park, there's no fee to enter. If you want to just come in and listen to the music, there's no fee to do that. The only thing you need to buy tickets for is if you want to purchase food or drink.
Please, no carry-ins. That's Taste of the Hills Saturday from 4 to 9 at Crosscut Park in Richland Center. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwaba. More big returns are expected at the box office this weekend, and there's a little something for everyone. If you're looking for something in a nice post-apocalyptic shade, check out the latest from the 28 Days franchise called 28 Years Later. The film is highly anticipated as original director Danny Boyle is back at the helm. Pixar's new film Elio also opens this weekend. It's the story about a space fanatic who tries to make connections with alien life forms to overcome an intergalactic crisis. That sounds even ambitious for a movie character. Elio is a nice family film rated PG, and for what it's worth, PG movies are crushing this summer. Elio is pulling in a very respectable 86% on the tomato meter. And finally, if you're in the mood for what appears to be a terrible movie, check out Bride Hard, starring Rebel Wilson and Anna Camp. Just about 10 reviews in, and Bride Hard is pulling a low 20 percentile. Mercenaries take a wedding party hostage, not knowing the maid of honor is a secret agent. I see where this is headed. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then increasing sunshine in the afternoon with highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight, a low of 74. Hot and humid this weekend with highs in the 90s, heat index values above 100. Currently, it's 65.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here to recap all of the week's news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Oh, have I got some things to say about robot umpires coming up in just a bit here with Mike Clemens. First, a reminder that the Free Ticket Friday keyword is fun. F-U-N. Fun. Parker's just loving the fact that I had to reach way back to find that three-letter word.
It was
today.
Like your eyes are rolling in the back of your head to like find it.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. It's over here. Fun. Text that before the end of the show here, and you will be in the running for four great seats to the Brewers game against Colorado, club-level seats, next Friday. If you are a winner here, you have five chances to win throughout the course of the day, so keep it here on your favorite civic media station. The Brewers will be taking on the Twins here tonight. Pre-game starts at 6:35. We're going to get into that, the game against the Cubs and more with Mike Clemens, who joins us as he always does on these Friday mornings. But we'll start with the NBA Finals since we're getting into a Game 7 situation, which, Mike, I know that, you know, even if it's two small market teams, I know the league is like, you know, as long as you give us seven games to squeeze out the revenue, we'll be okay. So, good morning. What can you tell us about Game 6?
Well, the Pacers had their backs to the wall, right? Thunder up 3-2, but they took the series then to Indianapolis, and the Pacers just throttled them. I mean, by the third quarter, they were up by 30 points. Tyrese Halliburton, the kid from Oshkosh North High School, was able to pretty much sit out the fourth quarter. He played 25 minutes, still managed to score 14 points and 5 assists. Some key three-pointers earlier in the game on that strained right calf muscle, which is amazing he was able to get on the floor last night anyway. So they had forced a Game 7. So Game 7 will be in Oklahoma City on Sunday night, tip off at 7 o'clock, coverage on ABC TV. Now, the Thunder are 18-2 following a loss this season. They beat the Nuggets in Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals. It's only the 20th game in seven. Oh, it's only the 20th time there's been a Game 7 in NBA Finals history. Only four times of that did the road team win Game 7. So, you know, the Pacers have got their work cut out for them. The last Game 7 was 9 years ago in 2016 when LeBron and the Cavaliers were down 3-1. They came back to beat Golden State to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy. So some, you know, interesting facts and numbers heading into Sunday night's game against the Thunder.
That's right. I'd forgotten all about what LeBron did for Cleveland before taking his talents elsewhere to South Beach, right? I remember that very well. All right, let's get into the Brewers, and we'll get to the Twins series in just a sec here. But because it was a day game, and I had the game on, my wife was off work yesterday, so we both kind of paid more attention in the ninth inning. Just because it was the ninth inning, we weren't paying attention because we thought there were going to be all these terrible umpiring calls. But as we're watching pitch after pitch come in from Trevor Megill be called a ball when they were very clearly not. I mean, I was genuinely worried about Pat Murphy's health watching him bark from the dugout. Were you?
Yeah, or if he was going to get ejected. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it was first to start with Abner Uribe, who came out in the eighth inning. And then there's Trevor McGill, the veteran closer for the Brewers. And, you know, even the TV guys and, you know, these guys that work for the Brewers, both on TV and radio, they're pretty fair guys. But they were when you looked at the replays like you did, like if you saw the TV version of it, that's clearly in the zone. It's clearly in the box. Baseball people call it the squeeze, right? They're putting the squeeze on the closer. Somehow that strike zone gets a little bit smaller, a little bit smaller. Well, anyway, McGill able to get through it, get his 16th save of the season when he got Suzuki to hit into a double play, retire the side, end the game. Brewers held on to win 8-7. I got some home runs from Reese Hoskins, Caleb Durbin, and Isaac Collins had his fourth hit home run. And then did you see the story about earlier in the game, Sal Frelick was up to bat, and he swung, and the bat came flying out of his hands and got stuck up in the net, the safety net, behind home plate. It was hanging up there like about 15, 20 feet in the air. And some young, you know, kind of yuppie-looking dude with his polo shirt and pants and Ray-Ban glasses starts climbing the net like Spider-Man to retrieve that bat. So the ushers are gathering around him as he comes down to get the bat. Like, oh, okay, way to go. Mm-hmm. Hand us the bat, please. You know, you're not going to – this isn't going to be bat day. So they took the bat away from him. His name was Ferrelli, Lou Ferrelli from Des Plaines, Illinois. And after the game, Sal Frelick came out with a bat that he autographed and said, hey, nice climb.
Nice.
And he gave his bat to this Cubs fan from Des Plaines. So you know, he was able to have that souvenir. But you know that story is going national today because the pictures are so great.
Rightly so. I was mentioning, I think just last week, about you know how old I am now. I'm old enough to remember when bat day meant that every kid got a full size Louisville Slugger. And
we moved all around the country when I was a kid, mm-hmm. so I got to see the Cleveland Indians with the Hawk, mm-hmm. Ken Harrelson, when he was on that team. And Sam, what was the guy's name? Sam McDowell was a fastball pitcher. Louis Tion and all those guys. And it was, you know, go Indians bat day. And, yeah, you came home with this slugger bat. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it got really loud. I mean, this was at the old Metropolitan Stadium with the metal floors, and everybody's pounding their bat on the metal floor, and it was crazy. But, I mean, that was...
Can you imagine bat day today with these crowds?
No, I definitely cannot, and I do not want to. I feel like I'm very lucky to have lived in a time when I did, when bat day was a safe, positive thing. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Different era here. So the Packers have a new president. His name is Ed Policy, and you got to have a good long chat with the new prez.
Got for Civic Media, we got a 15-minute sit down with Ed Policy and kind of a get to know you. Mm-hmm. And then we hit the roll and record on the recorder and play the interview or record the interview. And so I said, Ed Policy, his dad Carmen Policy was the president of the 49ers for all those years in the 80s and early 90s when they were winning Super Bowls, right? For the DeBartolo family. And they're from Ohio. They're from Youngstown, Ohio. So they kind of grew up Browns fans. And then later, Carmen was sort of like the Bud Selig of Cleveland. When the Browns left and went to Baltimore to become the Ravens, it was Carmen Policy that got some guys together and brought back the Cleveland Browns in the late 90s and early 2000s. So this is what the atmosphere that Ed Policy, your new Packers CEO and president, grew up around. He got a law degree. Then he eventually became the commissioner of the Arena Football League before getting a job with the NFL for a couple of years and then getting hired by the Packers. And I said, so what made you decide to go to Green Bay? And he said, you know, after working in the league for a couple of years, there's about five franchises I was interested in. And this was certainly, you know, near the top of the list. So he gets the job 12 years ago and he becomes quietly, you know, Mark Murphy's right-hand man. And about 5 years ago, someone said to me, Mike, watch Ed Policy. He's the next guy. Oh, really? And then you see that, you know, Mark is the guy with the vision and the spokesperson and hiring, you know, the people in the office and sort of let them do their jobs. The guy with the vision. But Ed Policy is the guy that was writing the contracts for all those buildings for Titletown, right?
Yeah.
For the building of the new football operations where they moved – the GM, the head coach, all in the same building with the scouts, the assistant coaches, and the players. They're renovating the locker room this summer. And then the NFL draft, they pulled that all off. And so this is now is the, you know, the passing of the baton, and Ed takes over. So I say, so what's the next thing? What's the next big thing for you in your first year as the Packers president? He says, win football games, stay in Green Bay, and always strengthen the community.
Wait.
Well, that got out there.
What?
I mean, social media, stay in Green Bay. Well, you know, we're shareholders. We're the owners of the team. You know? And I said to people, you know, if you're the mayor of your town, one of the things you learn is you're not necessarily there to fight crime or help education. It's like keeping the drinking water clean. Yep. You know? And so the bottom line for this guy is I've got to make enough revenue to keep the team in Green Bay, because I'm in a league where, who knows, there could be the next 35-year-old crazy billionaire that says, why are we still in Green Bay? If we want to, you know, roam the world, maybe we can make them the Germany Packers. The G could stand for Germany. We put them in Berlin or Munich or something.
Yikes.
I mean, there's crazier things can happen. But, you know, like you'd sell the Lakers for $10 billion.
Oh, yeah.
I think the other underlying thing to this, Pat, is this. Remember that story about 6 months ago that the Packers were kind of going back and forth with the city of Green Bay about the lease?
Yes,
that kind
yes.
of thing?
Yeah.
And it got kind of tabled because it's down to like 2030. I think this is Ed Policy, your new president, firing the salvo like, but you know, we need to take care of this lease agreement, people. Hello? Mm-hmm. You know, so that we can assure that the team is going to be here forever in Green Bay. I think that's what he was doing.
I would think so. I think that it's, it's a little rhetorical. It's a little political, negotiating. And obviously, Ed Policy knows a thing or two about negotiating. But even though I think we're all optimists about how this ultimately goes down, I think that we could still go without the heart palpitations that come in
when
people start talking like this, you know?
Well, and I think he also, when he says the first thing is like winning games, it's like, well, if you start really stinking, like the Oakland A's, you know, or the teams end up getting moved, you know, or the Oakland Raiders. That's, you know, those are the kinds of things that you need to think of because the dominoes start to fall. Here's the other thing. What's this guy going to really be like? Let me remind the jury that when Mark Murphy came in, he took over an operation that was run by the wonderful Bob Harlan, where the whole, you know, everybody in the front office was from DePere, Green Bay, you know, the sons and daughters of the folks that ran the paper mills, you know, and he reported to the board of directors. Mark Murphy came in, and suddenly those people were being replaced by, you know, some woman who was the marketing director from Coors, from Denver, and instead of DePere. And so he kind of changed the front office gradually that way. So he's bringing in all these ideas from around the country. And so there was a lot of change there. What's Ed Policy going to be like? Well, you know, he was asked, hey, you know, the contracts for Matt LaFleur and your GM, Brian Gutekunst, are they going to get renewed? No, not this year. They both got 2 years left in their deals. We'll revisit this next year. So that means 2025 is a prove it year for Goody and LaFleur, right? Oh, with their new boss.
Yes. Boy, this guy's he's taking no prisoners right from the get-go here. It's like, I'm the one in charge now. I got
it's regime change, man. It's regime change.
It really is. I got a little over a minute left, so I want to close where I kind of mentioned at the very start of the segment on robot umpires. And I know they're using these electronic eyes to some degree in minor league baseball. And, you know, again, I've seen enough of Angel Hernandez and others over the years. I'm ready for it tomorrow. Do you hear if it's going well in the minor leagues? Do you think we'll see something like that in the majors someday?
I haven't, because, you know, Murph doesn't want to get much into that. You know,
okay.
You know, I mean, after he settled, a reporter asked Murphy, were those calls at the end of the game kind of erratic? Is erratic? I didn't say that. You said that. He said that, right? I didn't say that. You didn't hear me say that. I mean, that's how great Murphy is.
Because
he said, you know, listen, there's no point of arguing balls and strikes with these guys. They're trying to do their best, and sometimes they get off the road, and we've got to find other ways to win games. But, you know, he said the same thing about fighting. The Cardinals and the Brewers were kind of get into it in their shouting match the other night. He goes, I don't get into that. That's between the players, you know, and them that they want to bean each other. And he said, if it gets out of hand, let the umpires take care of it. So Murphy's been there a long time. He's got this stuff politically figured out. In terms of is it coming to baseball? Well, you know, that's going to be up to the commissioner, and I'm sure he's getting a phone call from the Brewers after yesterday's game.
I wouldn't doubt it. Mike Clemens, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank you, pal.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's pause here. A local update is going to be next for some of you. And it's all followed, of course, by Matt Nair on Air. For the rest of you, we'll have some final notes next here on This Morning, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Pat Kreitlow Mornings from WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center. It's a warm day, going to be warm this weekend with heat advisories beginning again on Saturday and Sunday, so take care of yourselves this weekend. I'm Phil Nee with an update on sports. The SWAL All-Conference softball teams have been announced this week. Cuba City and Mineral Point both went 13-1. Fenimore and Iowa Grant both 9-5. Southwestern was 6-8. Riverdale 4-10. Darlington 2-12. And Boscobel 0-14. First-team All-Conference softball players from Cuba City, six players: Peyton Guile, Josie Cruiser, Ella Vosberg, Addie Schaff, Summer Rogers, and Brooklyn Dressler. Fenimore's Kehana Fuhrer and Jessa Brott, along with Kylie Cole. From Iowa Grant, first team members Laken Holman, Casey Lindner, and Carly Shores. From Mineral Point, Maddie Cabot, Jaden Schultz,
Austie Kinch, and Tinley Bachup, along with Allie Baller. And from Riverdale, Macy McKay, a junior, makes the first-team All-Conference. The album mentions softball players from the SWAL, Cuba City's Ayla Nolan, Darlington's Lila Norgard, Fenimore's Kylie Mum and Campbell Fitzgerald, Iowa Grant's Pajessa Baker and Emery Raymanap, and from Middle Point, Ava Ingwell, from Southwestern, Lauren Keller and Haley Brandt. The Player of the Year, Peyton Guile of Cuba City, and the Coach of the Year, Megan Rogerman of Cuba City. Mineral Point went the farthest of any of the teams in the tournament, losing in this year's WIAA State Softball Tournament. At the state baseball tournament yesterday, four champions were crowned. Johnson Creek won Division 4 with a 5-0 victory against Pacelli. In Division 3, Kenosha St. Joseph won against Kewaunee 3-2. Newberlin Eisenhower was a 5-4 winner over Seymour to take the Division 2 crown. And Division 1 was won by Muskego 5-4. That capped off the high school baseball season this year at Fox City Stadium in Grand Chute. The WIAA State Girls Soccer Tournament is underway in Milwaukee. Muskego won a Division I semifinal yesterday 3-0 over Kimberly. Arrowhead and Madison West tied at 3 in an exciting match that Madison West eventually won by shootout 6-5. And in Division IV action yesterday, Xavier was a 1-0 winner over Lake Country Lutheran. And how about this score? Washburn and Ozaukee Random Lake tied at 1. And Ozaukee Random Lake won a shootout 7-6 to advance into the next level of playoff action at the State Girls Soccer Tournament. Hometown of baseball last night, it was Mazamani getting the victory against Dodgeville. That final was 10-4, and Sauk Prairie over Arena. Final score there of 3-2. Now, lots of hometown games are going on this weekend in the northern section. On Saturday, Cazenovia will be at Sauk Prairie. That's a 6 o'clock first pitch time tomorrow night. Black Earth at Wanakee, Middleton at Cross Plains, and Reedsburg at Mazamani, all coming up tomorrow night. On Sunday in the northern section, Cazenovia plays at Cross Plains, Reedsburg at Ashton, and Sauk Prairie at Wanakee. And in the western section, Belleville is playing at Wyota, Blanchardville at Arena. Hollandale plays at Pine Bluff Mount Horeb, Ridgeway at Argyle, Scholesburg-Benton at Verona, and Muscadet at Dodgeville. That's our next featured game coming up on Sunday as the Mudcats take on the Dodgeville Knights. And we'll have it for you on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com. Pregame time 12:45 on Sunday. Well, the Brewers earned a series split behind three home runs on Thursday afternoon in Chicago, 8-7. Isaac Collins went deep with two on board. Caleb Durbin had a two-run shot, and nobody was on when Rhys Hoskins hit his 11th home run. The Cubs nearly wiped out a five-run Milwaukee lead, but Trevor Miguel locked down things in the ninth inning. Starter Freddie Peralta got his seventh win. Rookie Jacob Mizorowski starts the opener of weekend series against Minnesota this evening. Lots of great action in the majors from yesterday. That game was a wild one in the Windy City. Also in the National League, Washington slipped by Colorado 4-3, Philadelphia 2, and Miami 1, Atlanta 7-1 over the Mets, and San Diego beat the Dodgers 5-3. In the American League, the Yankees 7, the Angels 3, Kansas City 4-1 over Texas. Baltimore beat Tampa Bay 4-1, the Athletics 6, and Houston 4. Interleague play, Detroit 9-2 over Pittsburgh, Minnesota 12-5 over Cincinnati. St. Louis beat the White Sox 5-4, Arizona 9, Toronto 5, San Francisco 2-1 over Cleveland, St. Louis 8, the White Sox 6, and Pittsburgh was a winner over Detroit 8-4 in Major League Baseball. The resilient Indiana Pacers sent the NBA Finals to a winner-take-all Game 7 by rolling past the Oklahoma City Thunder last night, 108-91. That forces a Game 7 in the NBA Finals, the first one since 2016. Game 7 is coming up Sunday night. It will be played in Oklahoma City. In other NBA news, Bucks veteran Bobby Portis says he's always been a team-first guy, but it's time to take care of himself. Portis says he would love to return to Milwaukee, but he wants to be compensated fairly. The 30-year-old points out that he has signed many team-friendly contracts in the past. He has a $13 million option for next season, but he isn't expected to use it. Portis averaged 14 points and almost 8.5 rebounds a game last season for the Bucks. The schedule shows the Packers will hold fewer training camp practices this summer. The first of those 14 practices is on the calendar to start at 10:30 on Wednesday, July 23rd. Last summer, Green Bay held 16 practices at camp. The annual family night practice at Lambeau Field is set for Saturday, August 2nd, and the Packers will hold a joint practice at home Thursday, August 21st, against the Seattle Seahawks. That will also be the final practice of training camp. Marquette sophomore Royce Parham won't be chosen to take on the final roster spot for USA Basketball, playing in the FIBA U19 Men's World Cup. The competition takes place from June 28th through July 6th in Switzerland. Parham took part in the Colorado Springs tryouts this month. He made the first cut, but wasn't one of the 15 finalists chosen on Thursday. That's your WRCE sports update during Pat Kreitlow Mornings. We hope you have a great day in Southwest Wisconsin, an awesome weekend as well. I am Phil Nee.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Israel now reporting about 20 missiles being fired from Iran into its airspace. Iran says Israel struck a hospital in Tehran overnight, third hospital to come under attack. For the first time in the eight-day war, there are talks, but Israel is not there.
This morning, European diplomats meeting with Iranian officials in Geneva to try and find a negotiated end to the conflict. But Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, saying they won't talk with anyone while Israel continues to attack.
ABC News chief foreign correspondent Ian Pannell, President Trump is giving himself 2 weeks to decide whether to attack Iran, possibly by attempting to destroy a nuclear facility so deeply buried it is considered safe from all but America's bunker-busting bombs. The appeals court allows President Trump to keep control of National Guard troops that he deployed to Los Angeles following protests. Extreme heat advisories for the central U.S. on this, the first day of summer. This is ABC News.